Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Can you picture yourself having the guts and the imagination to bring 14 of the top copywriters in the business together to share their best action steps using AI to make money or save time? I certainly couldn't. But our guest today is an adventurous man and a successful copywriter wrangler because he did it. Please welcome John McIntyre, who recently invited me and a host of others. And this wasn't a theoretical roundtable. Each one of us had to give one workflow, technique, or method we were using AI to make our copywriting business better, our own business, and we had to spell it out in detail. Some of the other guys were David Deutsch, Bob Bly, Daniel Throssell, Chris Orzechowski, and John Benson, to name a few. We each had 45 minutes to jump into our topic, and John encouraged us to treat it like a mentoring session with him on the topic. No fancy sets, no intros, no slide decks, just real hands-on stuff. I confess, I spent the entire available time in the 24 hours before my session preparing for my 45 minutes because, and here's a secret, it takes a lot of prep to make a session look spontaneous, if it's any good. My session was how to get ChatGPT to pull persuasion stories out of you in your own words. I would say it was a success. And John's a terrifically successful copywriter in his own right, as well as a great interviewer. But today we're going to turn the tables on him and interview him about what he learned producing and promoting AI copywriting secrets. Just as soon as I offer you this friendly reminder, copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So, John, welcome. It's been quite a few weeks for me, but I'm sure even more so for you.
Yeah, David, thank you for having me, man. It's a pleasure to be here. And yeah, it's been a busy few weeks for sure. I'm ready to take a rest for most of July, I think.
Okay, that sounds good. So let me start with the questions, and pardon the pun, but what prompted you to put this together in the first place?
I mean, I've done bundles like this before, collections where I bring in together 5, 10, 15 different, you know, copywriters, marketers, and put something, some kind of offer together. And then, you know, sometime last year, you know, I've been using ChatGPT and exploring AI and really genuinely having a lot of fun with it just to be in this new, you know, fast moving field. And so I was like, yeah, let's put together another one of these, you know, bundles, collections, and let's do an AI thing. So I did one in, I think it was Christmas. I just did like an AI workshop to my own list just to see if people were interested. I was like, oh, they really were. I think it did it like a month after Black Friday, and I think I got more interest out of that than the Black Friday promotion, which kind of showed me that right now people are, they're hot for AI stuff, copywriters, but just the standard copywriting courses, I think, are a little bit worn out. So then it's like, okay, well, let's do this whole bundle thing. You know, it's a great way for obviously to make money. You know, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't about the money. But of course, these things don't really work unless, you know, everyone else involved. So you, the other partners like David Deutsch and Bob Bly, everyone else is involved, as well as the customers, everyone feels like they walked away with, you know, a really good deal. So for me, you know, it's a funny thing where people are like, wow, thank you so much for doing this. It must have taken so much work. And part of me is like, man, for me at least, in my personality and natural abilities, it's quite, I don't know if I'd say it's easy enough. It does take time. And I've had to start to, you know, kind of go, oh, like other people aren't necessarily going to do this just because they don't have they don't want to. It's too stressful for them. They don't have the time, whatever it is. Yeah, so I have a lot of fun with it and did it once. That worked really well. That was in March, volume one, and then did volume two just end of June. So yeah, that's sort of a bit of a riff on why I put it together.
It's a good one. You know, one thing I noticed about you I've been involved in launches for a long time, you know, a few of my own and a lot of other people's. And you are the calmest, most present, relaxed person I've ever seen. I mean, you know, we arranged this podcast during the launch, and you know, you said if anyone has any questions, dad jokes, whatever, you know, just send them to me. I mean, most people I know are totally stressed out and, you know, don't talk to me. I'm doing a launch. I've got all these calls and stuff. And you were just like, just going with the flow. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I underestimate, you know, what I can do. I think I had a conversation actually with ChatGPT. I'm like, why do people like think this is so valuable? Like, of course, the people buying it, but also the experts, you're like, wow, you did so well at this. I'm like, oh, I was just doing my thing, man. I wasn't trying to, you know, be special in any way. This is me. This is how I roll. And so I've kind of been like, okay, you know, I think business life really, but business entrepreneurship especially is about finding those things that come easy to you, that aren't so easy for everyone else, and then really leaning into that. So for whatever reason, this is, you know, getting on the phone, having a podcast, doing, you know, I love connecting with people, you know, having to sort of be the ringleader and try and coordinate 10 or 15 people. It's a bit of a pain in the ass, but it's also, I enjoy it too, you know? And so I've, you know, it's actually helped me realize, okay, like really find the things that energize me that I'm naturally good at that other people are like, wow, how did you do that? And then just really, you know, lean into that direction. And that's part of what's, you know, happening.
You could easily say you were born to do this. I mean, I'm sure you had to learn a few things, but yeah, you just rolled with it. It was great. So, yeah. All right, let's talk about some things you learned, because you interviewed a lot of people and you really put our feet to the fire, which I appreciate, because there's so much bullshit and vague abstraction and overhype about AI, and you weren't having any of that. You said, no, show me something you're doing and show me how to do it. And that was great. What did you find people had to say about what not to use AI, as well as how they use it themselves?
That's a good question. What did they say not to use AI for? You know, one interesting thing was that there was no real consensus on what not to use AI for. That in itself, I think, is interesting that, you know, Daniel, for example, Daniel Throssell, he has a very specific way of doing his emails, and he would never use ChatGPT to write his emails. He may have done it as a joke, I think, a couple of times, but generally he wouldn't do it. Bob Ly doesn't do it. Chris Orzechowski, I don't think, would use ChatGPT for his emails. But I'd say, you know, Bob Ly would use it for research. Chris was using it to come up with really granular insights on someone's pain points. Daniel, I don't know how much he uses it. I don't even know if he would let on if he was using it more than he actually is.
Yeah, he came across as the anti-AI guy, right?
For now, yeah. And so his claim to fame is that, well, no one's beat me in these affiliate competitions. I'm like, bro, that's a risky claim to make, because sooner or later, I bet someone will figure out a way to beat you, and they'll do it with AI. And then you're going to be like, it's going to be a pain in the ass for you to deal with that. Right. So, yeah, I think it just depends on, it's really, there's no consensus. So it's hard to say, hey, look, this is the situation when you should not use AI. It depends on you. It depends on the person you're following, on your own philosophy, you know, the things you know, Bob Ly was like, he really enjoys writing copy. Like, he loves it. So he wants to write the copy. Daniel doesn't want to write his emails. Cause I mean, ChatGPT is good, but I mean, Daniel, I think a lot of what makes Daniel strong is not just the copy. No, I think the copy is a small part of it. I think the bigger part is the theatricality of it, how he's good at stirring up drama and fights and mocking people, which is, you know, adjacent to copywriting, but it's not typically a thing that most copywriters are naturally good at. So, and that's a fairly nuanced thing to get right with ChatGPT, which is a bit different, I think, in my opinion, to just straight copywriting. So it depends on the person. I can't really tell you one thing like that.
Sure. Okay. What were the most surprising things you heard from the interviews?
That's a hard one. The most surprising things. I wasn't surprised by very much, because I've been using ChatGPT ChatGPT. I'm playing around with Claude and Gemini now for, you know, 2-3 years now. I don't remember when I started. So surprised, I'm not really surprised that some people aren't using it. I'm not surprised that Daniel is skeptical of it and some people don't think it'll ever be up to scratch. None of that's really surprising. I mean, one thing that I think would be surprising to some people is I don't see AI, like AI is a tool, like any tool. it's heavily dependent upon the person using the tool. So if you don't understand copywriting to begin with, if you haven't put in the hours to, you know, read the books and study the ads and take the courses and get coaching with people like yourself, whatever it is, you haven't put in the time to do that, you're just not going to know what to ask ChatGPT to get what you want out of it. And so it's heavily, to me, the big insight to me in the coming, say, 2, 3, 5, 10 years, the skill to master is, you know, knowing what you want is sort of number one. And number two, just as important, is knowing how to articulate it, which, you know, so requires knowing your field, knowing what a headline is and a lead and, you know, an AIDA formula and all these different things, because then you know how to ask for stuff. But if you don't know those things and you just come in and say, write me a great email about X, you're not going to get very far. And you probably will be one of the people complaining that AI can't give you good copy. So that's not really surprising to me, but I can imagine that in the world of like AI hype, I think that would be surprising to a lot of people that AI is not this magic, at least right now. And I don't see how it would ever be that way. You could have the world's best employee, for example, an amazing A player who can do basically anything. But if you don't know how to explain to them what you want, even this world-class, you know, the best employee in the world is not going to be able to do it. So will AI ever be able to figure that out? I don't know. I think it's really moving forward is you. What do you know how to do? Everything starts there.
What was the most surprising thing? No, I'm sorry. What was the most valuable thing? We already went over surprising. What was the most valuable thing you heard, or valuable things from the interviews?
Most valuable. I'd almost have to like run through the list of things and jog my memory a little bit. One thing I think was seeing that this is more of like a meta or zooming out perspective. Like everyone's focused on how do I get the right copy out of this? Whereas what I'm seeing, speaking to all these different people, like ChatGPT, everyone has ChatGPT. So it's not an advantage within like an evolutionary system that runs on evolution. You have natural selection. But then there's a great book, I think by Ridley someone, called The Red Queen. I don't know if it's specifically about this, but the basic idea is if, you know, two people have the same advantage, it's not really an advantage. Everyone can write better copy, but everyone's still equal. So no one's really winning. And so one thing that came up, like watching John Benson work with his Show Me His Software, and then I think Rob Marsh looking at his his custom GPT, is seeing that the value opportunity, the value gap, we might say, between people like us, for example, who have the time and the willingness to study the stuff, go really deep on it, who's going to buy a product like this, and say, my uncle, who's a real estate developer in Australia, he doesn't even know what SEO is, let alone, you know, ChatGPT and AI and custom GPTs. And so what I see is the opportunity is for people who are bridging that gap between like the end user, people like my uncle or my mom, who don't know how to use it, don't have the time or the interest to try and figure it out. And then OpenAI or ChatGPT or Claude is like sort of the API, you might say. And then it's like, who's building that middle layer? Who's helping my uncle or my mom or whoever else use this stuff? So, you know, Benson, John Benson and his AI thing called Benson, BNSN.AI, seeing that, okay, how he's able to make money. That's essentially what he's doing. He's saying with ChatGPT, it's very difficult for even an average copywriter to get what they want out of that. So let me build like a layer between the end user and ChatGPT, and we'll basically prime the pump, pre-prompted, he calls it this fancy, you know, like it's just a neologism or whatever they're called, but he's basically, you know, pre-prompting it or prompting it for you. It's like an advanced custom GPT. And then he charges $100 a month for it. You know, Ian Stanley's got something like that. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I haven't even, you know, put any time into actually doing it right now, but that was like, whoa. And they're called ChatGPT wrappers. If people wanted to Google it and learn about it, that I think is a huge, huge opportunity right now, because, you know, it's never been so easy to just make an app about anything, just using a custom GPT, wrap some code around it. That was pretty valuable, I think, for people. There's gonna be a lot of money in that space. There's startups that are getting millions of dollars in funding with a basic ChatGPT wrapper like that. So
sure, because it can sell. It's The advanced technology has already been done and is being improved every day by OpenAI and its competitors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you were right at the crosshairs of a lot of intense information by people who have figured out how to do very valuable things with AI in copywriting. Did what you learned change anything about how you look at AI or how you use AI yourself?
I mean, there was something that Bill Muller shared, I brought up the sales page, but it seems like I'm not looking at you, just to jog my memory a little bit. There was something that Bill shared in his session, like a really simple, weirdly simple thing that you can use AI for to just like jazz up an email in, 1 minute, drop your email in, add some of this specific thing in. I can share it if you want. I don't know if you like me, making all this curiosity gap stuff. I can share what the tip is, or I can, let Pete tell people to go buy it if they want.
Go ahead and share it. I mean, we're going to give people an opportunity to get the bundle if they want, but go ahead and share it. Yeah.
Yeah. So his thing was, he called it drop-in dialogue, but take any email. Most of the emails don't really have dialogue, but you could go to ChatGPT and type in something like, insert some dialogue into this email as though I'm talking to a skeptical friend, or a stressed out wife, or a pissed off customer, or whatever. Yeah, pick a character and then construct a conversation between me and that character in dialogue form and insert it into this email. You could do it from scratch, like when you're writing the email, hey, let's build this email off this dialogue structure, or let's add dialogue in after the fact. But it really, I've used it a bunch of times now, and it really jazzes up the email. I used it in the promotion myself. Really simple, really easy. Again, this is an example of how you could do that manually, right? So just knowing that adding some dialogue into an email, for example, Daniel Throssell does this stuff all the time. Adding dialogue in makes it far more interesting. Even if it's fake dialogue, even if you tell people it's fake, try it and you'll see what I mean. It makes it more interesting. So just knowing that, that's almost a copywriting thing. But then, it might take you half an hour. It just can take a little while to think this stuff up yourself. So sometimes you go to ChatGPT and brainstorm it. Hey, give me some dialogue options. Like, what kind of conversation might work here? What kind of character would really bring this email alive? So it's like part copywriting theory, like understanding the psychology side, and then integrating that with how you use ChatGPT. That's where the magic is. So yeah, that was from Bill Muller in his session. He called it drop in dialogue, where you dropping in dialogue to the email or any kind of copy.
So is the dialogue like where it actually drops in a character and the dialogue's in quotes, or is it just some text that appears more like dialogue?
I mean, I can bring something up. It wouldn't take me long. I could bring up one of the emails that I sent out and just like literally read some of the dialogue out that I'm talking about.
Sure. I'd love to know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So like one email. So I may add a new bonus to my product at the end, because I was watching how Daniel does his thing. The way he structures his bonus, we can go into that. That's almost a separate issue. But so I had an email. Someone basically bought through Daniel's link and then ended up buying again through my link just to get the bonus that I was offering. And so I had a subject line that said, he bought it twice just to get the bonus, and then told that story because he emailed me. This guy, Riley, changed his name. Here's how it went down. Riley said, just grabbed AICS, AI Copywriting Secrets. Can't wait to dive in. Cool. But then a few minutes later, he sees my offer, the same bundle, blah, blah, blah. Then sends another message, Riley, oh, wait, I bought through the wrong link. And then I said, oh, yeah, it looks like it went to a different affiliate. There was a long pause. And then Riley said, screw it, buying again. Your bonus is worth it.
Okay, that's so when example. you're saying dialogue, yeah, you're not just talking about writing conversational. You're actually talking about a character name quotes. Character name.
Yeah, exactly. Someone XYZ said this, and then have it in quotes. And it can be a real conversation
so
like that.
And so profound. That really is valuable. And ChatGPT will do it for you in a pretty acceptable way?
Yeah, I mean, ChatGPT, again, like I said about the tool, like if you have an idea of what kind of character might fit in, it'll help. There was another one where I had here we go. Yeah, this was a fictional one. So I had this email about why I quit meditation, and not because I got lazy, not because I gave up, not because it stopped working. I quit because I found something better. And then in quotes, better than meditation. What's next, John? Gonna tell me you've got a supplement that cures death? From Chad, imaginary skeptical copywriter wearing blue light glasses and clutching a gratitude journal. So it was imaginary, clearly imaginary. I think someone replied and they're like, oh, I loved Chad's responses. So like it creates a certain engagement or makes people laugh or breaks this. I don't know. It's like it really works. I was so shocked. And I'm like, this is fantastic. It makes it more fun to write too. It makes me laugh. So
that is such a great technique. Well, look, this program better than anyone. And you've told us a lot about bits and pieces. Could you give us a quick nickel tour of the whole thing for, what someone with either little experience or even someone with a lot of experience like you and me would get out of it?
a nickel tour. Do you mean like specific tips or just sort of like a summary of why someone might?
Oh, I knew because that was an American phrase. I should have found something else. It means a surface level tour. It means, you know, an overview, like a 3-minute walkthrough.
I mean, if I was to talk about why would you pay for this when you can just go to YouTube or listen to AI podcasts or something like that, the obvious, the purpose, or I see my role as a curator. So most people are married, they have kids, they have businesses, they're really busy, and they could spend all this time looking for all these secrets, or they can come and buy a product like this and just get straight to some really, you know, actionable workflow. Like, it's like, just do this. Here's like the 2% of the stuff that you need to know as a copywriter that will really make a big difference. Kind of like the 80-20. And then you don't need to go spend as much time as me fucking around on, ChatGPT or you know, you can just compress all of that learning into, you know, a few hours or something like that. That to me is the big reason why that's essentially what you're paying for, is the curation of that to save yourself all the time that I've spent and that you spent trying to figure this stuff out. So it's a shortcut, like any course, I suppose. That's most online courses. Does that answer your question? Is that what you were looking for?
I think so. I mean, tell people what they're going to get.
Well, we've got 14 sessions. You went through some of them before. So you're in there, David Deutsch. If I was to go through, like Chris Orzechowski talks about, he was talking about a sales page from a copywriter that I don't really know, but he went on and on about it. And then he just drilled down granular, like, you know, you start with like, okay, well, you might, you know, you get rid of your anxiety, for example, and he drills down a layer deeper and then a layer deeper and a layer deeper until you're like, oh, you know, wake up at 2 a.m. and you'll feel all anxious, and within 15 minutes, you'll know exactly the three things to focus on to blah, you know, getting down into really hyper detail. Using ChatGPT for that kind of stuff. That was great. Daniel Throssell talks about why, basically, how to beat AI-powered copywriters even if you don't use AI. David Deutsch had some cool stuff, like if you were going into sort of like how to get variations for your different, like if you had an ad or a headline or an email, coming up with different variations, you know, take this headline and give me like a, you know, fear focused, make an urgency focused, make a, you know, and a lot of it's fairly straightforward, but a lot of this just gets you thinking about different ways to use AI. I don't remember everything that I learned. Like there's a lot of different things, but I'll take a few things and like start playing with that. I think Bill Muller may have mentioned, I think it was in one of his emails, maybe that he was promoting it with, but this is another thing I took away from it, was giving the context before you give away the prompt. So you would insert like the thing you wanted to analyze and then give it a prompt after that rather than the prompt before, because it usually performs better if it has the context before it starts doing the thing. John Benson had a, what was it, like a book builder? He had like a custom GPT that would give you an outline for a book. Which was pretty cool. We had a weird, you know, it's a pretty strange example where he sort of paired autoresponders and marriage meltdowns. It's a bit odd, but it worked for the example. Lucas Fisher, he talked a lot about, you know, he had an app that he was using for like voice messages. But the general idea, I think, in his one, which I use a lot, is talking to ChatGPT rather than like with a voice message. You can do a voice mode where it's like a phone call. Rob, he talked about how like, man, if you had a client and you've been using ChatGPT or Claude or whatever it is for 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 different clients, it can get a bit confusing, or the quality can degrade because now ChatGPT is pulling from 10 different clients to solve this one client's problem. So he had some stuff about how to turn the memory off, stuff like that. Sam Woods, a few people really mentioned Sam Woods stuff. He had a pretty, like, I think he linked together, I didn't do one of the first, I haven't listened to his one in a month, but he had a thing where he's going through Perplexity, ChatGPT, linking them together as a way to take your best client and then find other clients exactly like them and string it together. So then you have cold emails and put it all together almost in like a really, you know, automated flow. Shiv had some cool stuff. So Shiv Shetty, he's an old coaching student of mine who's just blown up. Vibe coding. So that's like, you can take a tool like Lovable, or I think Replit is another one. These basically, imagine ChatGPT, but they're specifically, you know, made for coding. And he was just showing in 3 minutes, he could code up using one of these tools, like a ROI calculator, really gorgeous looking ROI calculator in about 3 minutes. You could do this manually, sure, but it would take you hours. So the basic idea is you could build this really simple app, pull this out on a sales call and show a client, like, if we improve your open rates, your emails, whatever it is, by this much, you'll make this much. And then, you know, $100,000, so why not give me $10,000? That's a really powerful way to sell. I've done it before, but not with these, like a ROI calculator like that. So you can build this stuff now really, really easy with something like Lovable. I think lovable.dev is that website. That's what Shiv talked about. He's always got some interesting stuff. He had like a cartoon ad format that you can use ChatGPT for. I mean, we'll be here all day if I try and explain what all of them are. Tom Ruwitz.
Oh, no. This is great.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, Tom had like a framework thing, so putting in the framework first, not just saying, hey, write an email, like what framework do you want it to use? So he had his own frameworks that he's developed, but you could just as well go ADA, problem, agitate, solve. You could even look up, like go like, what are the top 21 copywriting frameworks? Take all of that, put that into ChatGPT or Claude or whatever it is, and then you start to have more control over what's happening. Because part of, this is another issue that came up, is ChatGPT is pulling from everything it's been trained on, but you don't know what the quality of all of that data is. So it may have been trained on some pretty shitty emails or sales copy, part of the problem. But you can then, with the prompt, you can start to narrow that. Like, hey, you could load up 10 different sales pages, for example, that you know convert. And then you can say, like, model these sales pages, for example, which I think is all, say, John Benson's doing with his software. So yeah, that's a lot of stuff. Where do you want to go from there? Do you want me to keep going or?
No, that's great. Yeah, so we've put a link in with my affiliate link in the show notes. Nathan, do you want to say anything? You've just been sitting here listening.
I've been sitting here absorbing as much as I can. All of this sounds exciting. I also have been using AI in my copy for the last almost 2 years now. And it's exciting because at first, it was just all the gurus and all the people that were talking about how to use it, we're just putting out really garbage content and ideas. And over the last 6 months or so, real copywriters have stepped up, started using it, implementing their knowledge into it, and creating way better tools. So I'm excited to check this out. And David, you mentioned in the show notes, we will have a link to where people can get this. John, before we were out of here, I wanted to give you the opportunity. If anybody wants to connect with you, follow you, find out more about what you're doing, where's the best place to go?
So it's a bit of a story. I have been laying a bit low in as far as the copywriting industry goes for years now. And this has been, I've sort of been a bit more public with these bundles. Right now, the best way to contact me would be to just email john@dropdeadcopy.com. I don't do social media for copywriting. I'm really not a fan of social media, if I'm honest. You can go to dropdeadcopy.com, but I have been promoting on the homepage Daniel Throssell's opt-in, so that it'll just look like it's Daniel Throssell's website right now. That's why it's a little bit confusing. If you do want to connect with me personally, just john@dropdeadcopy.com, easiest way to do it. So.
Okay, we'll make sure to link the website. I'm not sure about the email because I don't want the bots crawling the website and spamming you. But man, I really appreciate you coming on. David, I'm excited to check this out, and we'll definitely make sure to leave a link in the show notes over at copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Yep. Thanks, John. Catch you later.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.